Your old partner. Another chance this hour to win yourself a beautiful cinnamon fur jacket. So hang on tight. All right. Only you know and I know. This is Jim O'Brien, and looking back across the 6.5 years that I spent at WFIL on the various shifts that I worked, I think one of the most exciting periods musically was the period of time that Three Dog Night became so incredibly hot. I remember there were several weekends and several opportunities on various shows for us to look back and simply take tremendous number of hits that they had and sort of put them together in a long string, and those were some of the most exciting shows that I ever did. During this particular era, many of us kept thinking that there was going to be some type of great dramatic surge like the Beatles had put on back in the 60s. It never really came. It simply became broader and broader and broader to include all the music spectrum in our kind of radio, but I really believe that looking back, the tremendous impact of Three Dog Night was probably the most exciting thing to me. This is Jim O'Brien again, and as we reminisce all this weekend long about the marvelous things that we all experienced here at WFIL, I think that very near the top of the list for me has to come the tremendous influence of our radio station in this community for good, because when I came to town, the word marathon was literally bouncing off the walls. Everybody was talking about how every year, at least once, we put on this tremendous charity marathon for kids, folks less fortunate than us, and it was such a total effort that everybody simply got swept up in it. I experienced several of those during my time at WFIL, and I can only say, as I have said so many times, that the tremendous warmth generated by this radio station to the community and from the community back to this radio station is a phenomenon that is unlike any I've ever seen anywhere, and I've been back and forth across this country several times. I will never forget, as long as I live, the tremendous meaning for me, personally, that came from the WFIL marathons.
WFIL, Philadelphia,
station of the year,
Jim
O'Brien.
I'm not dreaming about California. They got their problems, too, on such a winter's day. At 10:02 from Jim O'Brien with the nonstop music, what can we do? Let's see, on a day like today. Up to the attic, perhaps, to read a diary, preferably somebody else's.
And they called it puppy love.
WFIL Crossfire. Good evening, everybody. I'm David Madden. It's 11:03. Our telephone numbers in Philadelphia and the Pennsylvania suburbs, 263-8900, 263-8900. If you live in South Jersey, call us toll-free from Camden County at 966-3900, 966-3900. We were going to do an open forum tonight, if you know, if you were listening to the program last week, but the events of the past 11 hours have obviously changed that at this radio station, if no other. Jim O'Brien, a man that I never really had a chance to talk to all that much. Matter of fact, I think you can count the number of times I talked to him on one hand. I don't have to tell you that he died in a parachute accident today. If I do, you've probably been living in a cave for the past 11 hours. We're going to do tonight a tribute to a man who spent a half a dozen years at this radio station, then of course went over to Channel 6 and his career just mushroomed from there. And it's going to be a unique kind of tribute because we're going to be talking to some of the people he worked with, both here and over at WPVI. And we'll also be talking to you. And I'm going to ask a favor of you right at the top of the show, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to turn this into a morbid program because, quite frankly, I don't think Jim O'Brien would have wanted it that way. That's not the way he lived. So when you call tonight at 263-8900 or 966-3900, what I'd like you to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to give me your best memory of Jim O'Brien. What made you happy about Jim O'Brien? Now, I know you know that on this program, I have said on a couple of occasions that Jim O'Brien and I differed in news philosophy, and that's not going to change. I said that before, and that opinion stays the same now, but I will say this much about the man. No one was more intense about the work he did and cared more about the people that he reported to than Jim O'Brien. You're going to be hearing a lot of voices tonight, voices of the present, voices of the past, but I'd like to hear yours as well. 5 minutes after 11 o'clock, the first person I want to bring in here to talk about Jim O'Brien for a couple of minutes, the man who just got off the air here at WFIL, Jerry Blavitt. Jerry, you have associated with Jim O'Brien on a number of occasions, I'm sure.
Well, David, actually, Jim and I worked together. A lot of people don't realize this, but when we started out, I started out with CAU, which was CBS.
Right.
And at that time, the ownership was Triangle Publications with Walter Annenberg. And when I came over to WFIL, Jim was not on television at that time. Mm-hmm. And we used to have a little lounge in the old building across from the Marriott. And we would meet the TV guys and the radio guys getting a cup of coffee. And in those days, I was doing a five-day-a-week TV show.
That's right, Jerry's Place. I remember
Jerry's
that.
Place.
Right.
And one of the things that I never really have forgotten about Jim was that he was so intent. He was on radio at that time, on getting on to the tube at that time, as we say in television. And I used to have to dress up 5 days a week. And he used to love the wide ties that we used to wear in those days.
Right.
So one day, I came in getting a cup of coffee, and I gave him six of these ties. And he promised me, and he kept his promise. He said that when I go on television, this is Jim O'Brien.
Right.
And he was auditioning at that time for the weather, you see, that he was going to wear the ties. And the first week that Jim O'Brien went on television, he wore the Jerry Blavitt ties at that time, which were the wide ties. He was a dedicated guy. He loved radio. That was his first love, you see. But as you know, the transition he made was into television, you see.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you, you know, we're going to be hearing 101 different stories from people about Jim O'Brien and what he did. He wasn't really into all of this, you know, the motorcycle bit and all that when you knew him, did you?
No, this came, as a matter of fact, this shocked me a little bit. You know, I found that because I just came from the shore before we did the show, and I was listening to FIL, and that's when I heard it come on the air. He was a very subdued guy, and there's a guy here, Jerry Donahue, who remembers him really good from the old radio days. He was never really into the flying. He was never really at that time. He developed this later, I would say maybe 4 or 5 years ago. But he was, I'll tell you one thing about the guy. He was very intense. He was a very intense guy. Before he got on the television, you know, he really mastered, because there is an art to TV as opposed to radio, you see.
Jerry, thanks so much for taking a couple minutes and
my
stopping
pleasure,
in
David.
Tonight. 263-8900 and 966-3900 in South Jersey. Let's take a call from a listener, find out what your best memory of Jim O'Brien was. Norristown, good evening. You're on WFIL.
Yes, Dave. WFIL reminds me of Jim O'Brien, and Jim O'Brien reminds me of WFIL because I remember everything about Jim O'Brien with WFIL. And on the beginning of the show, when
you
played those jingles, it brought back memories.
So with the change in format, you were, you know, almost hoping that Jim would be over here too?
Yeah. I was reading in the Daily News where when they decided to change the format, they had asked him, Don Rose, George Michaels, if they'd, you know, be interested in coming back. And, you know, they were happy where they were.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, logically speaking, I don't think you'd expect Jim O'Brien to give up the money that he was making over at Channel 6 to come back over here, obviously.
No, I didn't think he'd do that. I don't think anybody would do that.
Okay. All right, good enough then. Thanks so much for calling, sir, and and have a good night.
Yes.
It's 1110 at WFIL. Let's talk to one of the former WFIL air personalities who worked with Jim O'Brien, who is now at KLIF Radio in Dallas, Texas. Let's say good evening to Tom Dooley. Tom, having worked with Jim O'Brien, as a matter of fact, Tom, I think, didn't you follow up Jim O'Brien in middays?
At WFIL, yeah, that's right. He did 9 to noon, and I did noon to 3, but Jim and I actually go back a long time before WFIL days.
All right, where did you work before with him?
Jim and I first met, John, in 1966 when we both came to a radio station in Cincinnati, Ohio, WSAI, which was a top 40 station. And he did mornings, and I did afternoons. And we just hung out together then. And the interesting thing about it is there was an engineer at the radio station whose name was Fred, who was a member of a skydiving club there and got Jim and I both interested in skydiving.
This is when you were in Cincinnati?
That's right. I heard a report earlier today on Channel 6. They were talking about Jim learning skydiving in Philadelphia 5 years ago. That was an erroneous report. That's totally inaccurate and totally incorrect. Jim actually began skydiving on a regular basis in Cincinnati in 1966 while he was working at WSAI.
Now, you say you you went on a couple of these dives with him?
Yeah. We started out with this guy named Fred, and at that point, you know, you couldn't free fall. You had to go in what's called a static line.
Right.
They wouldn't allow you to free fall. So I did two jumps and thought to myself, well, this is a lot of fun, but it's real dangerous, and I got better things to do. So I stopped doing it. But Jim, really, he was always a very adventuresome individual, very intense, very much a man's man. He really enjoyed that kind of a challenge. So the skydiving thing really got in his blood, and he began doing it on a regular basis and was very soon into free fall and began doing it for sport with teams and all that other kind of stuff. But he actually began skydiving in Cincinnati way back in 1966, mm-hmm. No, because we began it together.
Let me ask you then, from your days working with him in Cincinnati and here at FIL, from the discussions that I've had, not just with you, but I talked to George Michael, we're going to talk again to Jay Cook later on this evening, it seems to me that O'Brien seemed to throw caution to the wind a lot. Did you find that to be the case?
No, not really. As I said, he was a very adventuresome, aggressive kind of fierce competitor. I think that came from... First of all, he grew up on a farm in Texas.
Right.
He learned to work at a very early age, so he had a lot of stamina. He was well-built. He had a lot of strength. And he was a football star at Baylor University in Texas, and then got into radio. So he was very adventuresome. He was a hard-driving, aggressive guy. But as far as being foolhardy or irresponsible, or having a devil-may-care attitude, that was not Jim. He was, in fact, a very conscientious, intelligent, conservative kind of individual. He would do things that nobody else would do, but not to prove anything or not to live dangerously or anything melodramatic like that. It's just that he liked to do things like hard sports, but he was always calculated and always very responsible about it.
Tom Dooley, a KLIF in Dallas, former WFIL air personality who worked with Jim O'Brien. Thanks so much for taking a couple of minutes out to be with us tonight.
Thank you, John.
Have a good night now. It's 11:13 at WFIL. You can understand that on a night like tonight, they may mix up some names. That's quite all right. I understand that. Let's go back to the phones then at 11:13 and say hello to Northeast Philadelphia. You're on WFIL.
Yeah, I want to talk in defense of Jim O'Brien.
You don't have to defend him here, sir.
I know that. I want to talk about him.
Fine, go ahead.
On the radio?
All right. So you're going to have to turn down your radio, okay?
Oh, I'm on. I got to turn my radio down.
Yes, sir, you do.
Okay. Pat, can you turn the radio down?
We're going to have to move along, sir, because we're very backed up tonight.
Okay, can you?
Sir, just tell me what you want to say about Jim O'Brien, okay?
No, I love the man.
Yes, I understand. I think we all do.
Huh?
I think we all do, sir.
Okay, but I want to say it on national television.
Well, you're not saying it on national television, sir. You're saying it on radio, but thanks so much for calling. 11:15 at WFIL. We'll be talking to Larry Kane over at Channel 10 coming up shortly.
Famous 56, WFIL, now playing the music that the Delaware Valley grew up with. The songs of the 60s and early 70s that were the soundtrack of your life. WFIL, Boss Radio, what's your radio station? Now, in the 80s, the boss is back, and we'd like to know what you want to hear. Call the boss's phone at 215-482-7053 with your memories and suggestions. Then tell your friends about Solid Gold Radio.
WFIL. At 11:15, we go again to the WFIL newsmaker line. A gentleman who knew Jim O'Brien perhaps as well as anyone in this business, from WPVI-TV and the Action News team, anchorman Mark Howard. Mark, let me just say right up front, I did not know Jim all that well, but I'm sure that everyone here, and I talked to a couple people who knew Jim when they worked here at FIL, they're all, like, shocked and like, deeply saddened about this. So we share the grief that you people feel over at Channel 6 tonight.
Thank you, Dave. He, obviously, to the people at the radio station as well as at our place, he made quite an impact. And everybody who knew him well is still can't believe that this man who was so full of life is suddenly not here.
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing I've been trying to center on, and I'd like to do that with you as well, I'd like to get the happiest story about Jim O'Brien that I can out of the people I'm talking to tonight, because I think that's really the way Jim would like to be remembered.
I think you're right about that, and I think, I don't know that I could give you one specific incident, but I can tell you that every day it was like walking into a, not a hurricane, but at least a gale force wind. You'd come to work some days not feeling so happy, not so excited, like, oh, here I go, and you'd walk in there and you knew everything was going to be just wonderful, because he was there, and he was always working in high gear, and he was always up, and he just spread that throughout the newsroom.
And that's really what you need sometimes in a shop, you know, anywhere in town. I know we need it occasionally, and I'm sure you guys do too, and O'Brien probably served that role rather well.
Well, I'll tell you, I've worked, you know, quite a few places, and so had he. In fact, we did have that very common bond that we both, you know, came to this place like, and we were in our 40s, and we appreciated the fact that we were in a very successful team together, and we did share that that success and the joy of, you know, having it at our age and feeling that, wow, we're really into a good thing at a time when you don't feel like moving around. But I have never worked with anybody who on a consistent day-to-day basis was such a motivating force for all the people around him. I mean, he cared about everything. I mean, his attitude was that he and I anchored the 5 o'clock news, and every item in that newscast was us. Mm-hmm. And if a report was less than beautiful or less than perfect, he'd drag a reporter aside and say, now, you know, if you did it this way a little bit different, it'd come out better. And when the desk didn't come up with all the information on the story we needed, he was right there calling the governor or calling the mayor or calling anybody to get the story, to have it right so that it'd be as close to perfect as he could make it. And that is unusual to see a person who every day was just up and cared and really, really with it.
Well, you know, I talked to a couple of the guys he used to work with here at FIL, and I talked to Larry Kane over at 10, and the attitude that they seemed to have about Jim regarding the skydiving, the motorcycling, etc., is that while he was a calculating and cautious individual, he wasn't afraid to take risks.
Oh, I would say definitely, but I would also say that, you know, having now had the time of several hours to go over the details of the accident, it is beginning to appear that he took a risk that cost him his life because he didn't want to endanger his skydiving partner.
That's right.
Their parachutes were caught together. They could have ridden down together and probably both would have been injured, maybe mm-hmm. seriously. Mm-hmm. But he didn't want to let that happen, and he cut away too low to the ground so that his reserve chute couldn't open, but he took a risk for a friend, which he did all the time. I mean, that was his lifestyle.
All right.
I don't think he was a daredevil. Mm-hmm. I know he was. In fact, I asked him when he first started skydiving, I said, isn't this a dangerous pastime, which if you do long enough, it's going to have to, you know, lead to trouble? He said, not if you're careful. And he said, boy, I'm careful. I wrap that parachute so carefully. I do it myself. I tie it up so that it's right. You know, I get the best equipment. He really was serious and careful, and he had a terrible accident, and that's what happened. And it's just a damn shame.
Well, Mark, I want to move along here because I'm sure, you know, you want to deal with this in a personal way. But again, from everyone here, our sympathies, anything we can do to help, don't hesitate to ask.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Thanks much. Have a good night. 1120 at WFIL. We go again to the newsmaker line, and another gentleman who worked with Jim O'Brien at Channel 6, now at Channel 10, anchorman Larry Kane. Larry, good evening.
Hi, Dave.
I talked to you earlier this afternoon, and the stories that you can tell about Jim O'Brien must really be really happy times, because Mark Howard was saying he really just pumped everybody up.
Well, he was, you know, a one-man energy machine. And as an anchorman, when you're doing the news each and every day, and sometimes the news, as you know, and we all know, can be dismal. Jim had the rare ability to come into that place, no matter how you felt. And I'm a pretty energized person myself, but he had this ability to pick everybody up and go for extreme energy in everything he did in life. And, oh, there are a million stories. And when I was thinking about them this afternoon, when my wife and I were sharing them, we got kind of emotional, and some of them were difficult to think about. But he was just the most protective human being I've ever known in terms of the professionalism. We had a night many years ago when the gay rights activist invaded the station, and he just wouldn't let anybody get near me. Nobody was going to touch his anchor man. As a radio broadcaster, as you guys know, he was a consummate professional. He was tireless. I never saw the man tired in my life. I never saw him tired. I never saw him in any way lethargic. He just had this incredible energy. I never saw him blink on the air, say, I need some sleep. He could usually go with 4 or 5 hours sleep. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but there was a time when he was doing the radio program on WFIL.
In the morning, yeah.
A mid-morning program on WPVI-TV called Dialing for Dollars, the 6 and 11 o'clock news, and he did that for a couple of years.
That must have really been
tough. And I don't know how he did it, because he'd do it, and then he'd come to work, and then 11:30, go home. He told me he'd get to bed in 5 minutes, he'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and be back at work at WFIL. He just refused to cut his ties to radio. And finally, after a while, we convinced him. We said, Jim, you know, it's time. And he always was concerned, and this is just the most amazing thing about the person, that he wouldn't make it in television, all the while being such a huge success, such an extraordinary success in Philadelphia. And he just had these ties to radio, and he said, maybe I shouldn't break them. Maybe it would give me more security. And basically, he didn't even realize he was such a giant success. And it's my opinion that one of the reasons he was so successful was because he worked on the basis of, I've got to make it better the next time. Mm. I've got to look better the next time. I've got to perform better and communicate better and do a better job. And that's the mark of a great broadcaster. The great ones in our business, in any business really, are the people who are very consistent in their quest for excellence and their desire for performance. He was a totally performance-oriented human being, and that was on the air and off the air. And as most of you know, and most of the people who know him around here know, he was a real loner, very quiet person.
Right.
But yet, when he got into that studio and the red light went on, the electric world of Jim O'Brien suddenly turned on. And frankly, I don't think there'll ever be anybody like him again. What he did for me in terms of getting to be more natural, and I'm going to be on the air in a few minutes to talk about it on television.
Right, you have a thing coming up at 11:35, don't you?
Yeah, just about.
Yeah.
What he did for some other people, the catalyst role he played in keeping that program together after I left Philadelphia. He's just an extraordinary person. And I was talking to him a little while ago, and we were talking about risk-taking and all the risks he took, and he just said life is a risk. And that's how he viewed it. He wanted to live life to his fullest. And there was absolutely nothing he wouldn't try. And he, you know, somebody called me from a newspaper and they said, well, was he a wild person? I said, no, he wasn't a wild person. He was a very serious person, very intense. And he just believed in accomplishing, whether it be skiing or motorcycling across the country or working at a marathon for charity as he did so many years at WFIL Radio. And he really helped so many young people, too. And I have to tell you that in terms of family, I've had some losses in my life. This is one of the most tragic and one of the deepest losses, because I feel like a piece of me has just gone away. And, you know, I think that all of Philadelphia, all the people of this town and this area who loved him, whether they watched him regularly or not, they knew of him, they knew what he stood for, feel that a piece of Philadelphia is gone. And it's not just the tenure. He just had this incredible impact, and whether it was 1 year or 13 years, that's the way he was.
Well, I'll tell you, Larry, you know, I said this to Mark, and I'll say this here. You know, I never had the chance really to deal with him much. The only time I talked to him, quite frankly, recently was at the Jerry Lewis Telethon. But obviously, if there's anything we can do at FIL to help out, don't hesitate to ask.
Okay.
All right, Larry Kane over at Channel 10, thanks so much. And
bye-bye, Dave.
All right, we'll be watching you in 10 minutes. Thanks much. 11:25 at WFIL. And let's go back to the phones then and find out how you feel about what's going on today. Again, let's try to keep it upbeat, all right, because I think that's the way Jim O'Brien would have wanted it. Your happiest story about Jim O'Brien at 263-8900 and 966-3900 at the station where he started his career in Philadelphia, WFIL. Northeast Philadelphia, you're live on Crossfire. I'm David Madden.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for the time. I'd like to say just one thing, and it is a definitely happy moment that I have of him. I won a breakfast with him back in 1976, December, to promote a Scrabble. And he was just wonderful, and we had a good time out of WFIL. And Jim O'Brien and WFIL go together, like the other gentleman said.
Well, I'll tell you this much. The one thing that seems to be coming across is that Jim was totally committed to his work. And let's face it, you know, you deal with a listener who wins a meal with you, you know. You know, you can go through the motions with that, like some people in this business may do. Or you might just put your all into it and really get committed to actually making the station look good. And, you could see it the way he did that at Channel 6. And I was listening to WFIL when he worked here. And, it was obvious, at least from that angle, that no matter what he did, he always did it full tilt.
Not only that, he was a very busy person with all his duties, as Larry Kane just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
out at WFIL and Channel 6. But he also took time to write to his fans, and I being one of them, whenever I used to communicate with him through letters when he used to work at WFIL, I always got a response, and I still have all my letters, and, you know, I was a teenager, but, you know, to me it meant so much then, and it still does.
Well, I'll tell you, Larry did not mention this, but in the salute he's going to do on Channel 10, and you may want to, you know, turn the sound down and watch it while you're listening to this, they sent a Channel 10 film crew over here to film some pictures that one of our secretaries, Carol Harris, has. She's got a file on Jim O'Brien that is, you know, a couple of inches thick. And they're like, you know, promo pictures that the station sent out and press releases, articles written about him.
Right.
There's a couple of pictures of him in front of a Boss bus with a whole bunch of kids from the neighborhood. You know, it's not like, you know, the Boss chicks or something like that.
Right.
You know, he got involved with what he was doing. That much was obvious.
He always had time for the little people, so to speak. And he never was too busy. He did dedications. I can remember him opening up a deli here in the Northeast. And
mm-hmm.
He was just never too busy just to pitch in and give his all.
Good enough, ma'am. Thanks so much.
Thanks
for calling.
Thanks a lot for the time, Dave.
No problem. Have a good night. Warminster, you're on WFIL at 11:28.
I'm on?
Yes, you are, ma'am. Go ahead, please.
All right. I wanted to say that I thought that the greatest loss to Philadelphia was Grace Kelly. But just a year later, the fact that we lose Jim O'Brien is just a little too much.
What do you remember, though, ma'am, about Jim O'Brien that would bring a warm thought to your mind?
Well, I know is that he woke up your life. He came on. He was so energetic. He just woke up your life when you waited for him to come on. And
so you looked forward to seeing him on Action News every night.
Yes.
It was like the highlight of the broadcast, actually,
yes,
for you.
Yes, energy, energy. And Macho Man. Macho.
You liked him then?
Loved him.
Well.
Loved him.
He'll be
liked him.
I'm sure he'll be sorely missed, ma'am. Thank you so much for calling. 11:29 at WFIL. This is a special edition of Crossfire as we remember Jim O'Brien. We'll be talking to his old board engineer, and it might be a surprise as to who it really is coming up.
This is Sylvester Stallone. These are hard times for a lot of people. In redefining our national priorities, we're fighting some tough challenges. Inflation, recession, unemployment, and limited resources. And the people hit the hardest, unfairly, and through no fault of their own, are the ones who can least afford any more troubles. They're the aged and the handicapped, the sick and the poor, and the children who haven't yet had a chance in life. But this isn't a country where there's no hope. We've always been a people who care. And when people care about each other, there's no way to stop us. This year, you're going to prove again that this is the greatest country on earth. That when the going gets tough, the tough get going, and we're going to make it work.